Blog Talk Radio. That was the late Donny Hathaway talking about the ghetto. Talking about the ghetto, the thing that we're trying to eliminate. That's the whole purpose of this show, is to try to eliminate the ghetto. The ghetto. This show is brought to you by the Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce. Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce. And I am your host, Ed Robinson. Right here out of Florence, South Carolina. You know, that that name is just, you know, terrifying to a lot of people. Black Chamber of Commerce. You know, in businesses and industry and all of these smaller companies and entrepreneurs and all this stuff, when they come to town, most especially Florence, South Carolina, they look for the regular Chamber of Commerce. And they garner to them, hey, I need to be a part of the Chamber of Commerce. And they join. They give them their money, big money, just to be a part of the Chamber of Commerce. But there are very, very few, very, very few that will be willing to be a part of the Black Chamber of Commerce. As a matter of fact, there ain't none that's willing to be a part of the Black Chamber of Commerce. But, you know, with our limited funds and our limited support, we've been able to maintain and sustain for a little better than a year. And we are starting our new year now with a little more aggressive moves toward having company become part of what we have to have. We have to have a lobbying system for the poor. Lobbyists for the underclass, lobbyists for black businesses, because when you look at it, you know, as relates to the, you know, I'm basing my opinions on what I see happening in the city of Florence, South Carolina, the city as well as the county. There's a problem. There's a serious problem with promoting black businesses. A serious problem with that. And when you think about when you look at the city of Florence and you look at the number of black entrepreneurs 2 years ago versus the number of black entrepreneurs this year, they have substantially decreased. they have substantially decreased. And you know, based on a promise that was made prior to, I mean, you know, we were given all these promises. It never matures. It never matures to the status as to where we are being, where it's implied that it will mature to. And this is something that we have to do. We have to fight for the fairness, right, righteousness, equality, and justice. It's something that we're just going to have to fight for because they're not there for those of us in the black community. It's not there for those of us in the black community. And my thing is, I don't think, I know, it would be a lot more fair. Growth would be more forthcoming in a more rapid fashion, in a more diverse fashion, which would be more appealing to the rest of the world. If we can prove, if we can show where the city of Florence is growing in a diverse, in a great diverse manner. Now, you know, I am an elected official here in Florence, South Carolina. And, you know, I'm kind of out there by myself because I'm promoting fairness and equality. You know, we've got three black folk on city council. And again, I'm out there by myself. I'm one, and we've got two others other than me. And for the third time, I'm pretty much out there by myself. though there are a lot of movements, you know, and I don't want to say positive because it's so one-sided. There's a lot of movement, a lot of money being spent, a lot of growth and all that going on in the so-called downtown elitist upper class above this income line level of growth for people who are above this line that they set, or people who try to portray themselves as being those that are on or above this line so that they can be a part of this elitist group, you know, and I'm pretty much now talking about black folk. You know, they, what has happened is the system has managed to separate black folk. You know, you have so many black folk that are saying, oh, this is such a great thing that's happening. It is just so great. But for who? It ain't great for us. We can go down there and spend our money. And, oh, we had a good time down here because, you know, it's commingling with white folk in their environment because they don't commingle with us in our environment. You know, it's a thing where we have to be like them. And, you know, the more like, and then, you know, from a point of view, no, I don't want to say that. You know, we are who we are. We are of African descent, and we don't need to try to pull away from that. We need to be proud of who we are, proud of our heritage, proud of what we have accomplished, and the accomplishments that we have made based on the blood, sweat, and tears, and jail, and mistreatment, and all everything else that those before us had to endure in order for us to be where we are. And then now that we have come to the point where we feel like, hey, we have made it to the line and above, that we're going to forget about those of us who are below the line, whose shoulders that you stood on in order to get to the line. It's sad. How do we rectify this? Now, the sad part about it, you know, these young entrepreneurs who feel that they have made it, that, you know, they want to separate themselves from us. And the only way that they'll be able to sustain is that keep them up. And I'm saying, why do we keep them up when they try to keep us down? Why should we keep them up when they do nothing, when they participate in the activities to keep us down? We can stop this mess. Now, I don't want to try to advocate, you know, we need to kind of, but it would be nice if some others would come in and tell me what to do. What do we advocate here? Before we try to move forward, do we need to clean house first? Well, we need to identify those who will support and help us and those who will not. Now, I know I'll get a lot of kickback on this because we talk about, we need to talk about supporting black businesses. And I agree. Now, I can name a number of black businesses. You know, as I mentioned when I first came on the show, about businesses and industry, though we don't have any. Now, I've approached all of them, and there are a few huge multimillion-dollar black businesses that we have here. People say, no, I can't be a part of that. But, yeah, I can be a part of the other chamber, but I can't be a part of the black chamber because that might be insulting to the others. And I have people from all aspects, from all racial backgrounds. So I don't want to get mixed up in this racial thing. Lord have mercy. Now, I've been told this. Now, it's okay to join a chamber of commerce that is run and controlled by white folks. It's okay for black businesses to do that, but it's not okay for a black business to join a black team of commerce that's run and controlled by black folk, because that is somewhat offensive to white folk. Now, this is what I'm being told by black entrepreneurs, as well as, you know, when I find that when I go talk to businesses that have HR directors that are in positions that they could make a decision as to whether they give me the most opposition. Though I don't have any of the rest of them, they do at least act like they might be interested. But when I come across a black person who makes that decision, I mean, why don't you join the other one? Why can't we have a black one? You know? If it's a white one, why can't we have a black one? You know, this is something that is growing all over the nation, black teams of commerce. And we're going to be successful. We're going to be successful. When it comes down to upper professional level, we have more white folk that are part of the black team of commerce in the upper professional level than we have than blacks. Then what do? You know, people come to us often looking to find people that we can recommend. Who should we go to as a lawyer? Or who should we go to as for a plumber? Or who should we go to for a carpenter? Or who should we go to for insurance? You know, we get those inquiries. And we try to promote members of the black chamber. And as I was saying, you know, when you get to the upper income, upper professional level, where most people inquire, you accountants, they look for, how can I get help on my tax returns? Who should I go to? Well, naturally, we have to look at our members first. And then when you got a black chamber of commerce and you have to refer people to white businesses, which I don't mind. That's fine. But I think the overwhelming majority, I mean, we should have all black businesses. With, I think. I know my opinion might be a little bit biased, but so be it. We have to have what we are. We are a lobbyist group for the underclass. You know, the system has forced us into this downtrodden, down this outcast group of people who are out there wondering. And here we are, the Black Chamber of Commerce. Our job is to garner those folk, pull them together, and let's go in as one and change the system. Make the system more inclusive of all ethnicities. You know, not that we want to be separate and apart. We have to reach down on the bottom where we are in every case, education, community development, health care, incarceration, you name it. Anything that is derogative, it hurts us a lot more often than it does any other ethnic group. And somebody has to do what is necessary to bring that to an end. Somebody has to do what is necessary to bring that to an end. Now, if you want to talk about situation, you need to call us at 516-453-9921. 516-453-9921. That is our call-in number, 516-453-9921. Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce blog radio show with your host, Ed Robinson. Now, what we have to do and what we're trying, hopefully this will get the attention of black folk. We have to get a following because the system now is challenging us. It's saying, well, you know, you're not going to be able to sustain. We're not going to support you. And your own people are not going to support you. So therefore, we're going to just let you just weigh yourself out. You can go ahead and do what you do and talk what you want to talk. But black folk love us more than they love their own people. And I got to admit, that's a true fact. Take the mayor of the city of Florence. My goodness, boy, he would die for this man. Who has done absolutely nothing but hurt them. But I can't tell them that. They don't want to hear it. We love this guy. And was at a party some days ago. And a white man came to me. I won't call his name. But he came up to me and he said, I've always been a Democrat. He said, I've been in Florence about 20, 25 years. And prior to, you know, he was in early 60s, I guess. He said, I've always been a Democrat and I believe in the Democratic policy. But he said, in order for a white man to prosper in the city of Florence is that he has to be a Republican. He has to be a Republican. Mayor of Florence is a Democrat because of the heavy population of black folk. You know, we've never had a mayor that's been a Republican since I can remember. And going back to at least the 1950s, I can't quite remember that far, but I do know that way back then, that there were the mayor then was a Democrat, and it's always been a Democrat because of the heavy population of black folk, and it is the overall trend that everywhere black folk are with Democrats. Democrats probably 95%+ of us are Democrat. So this white man told me, he says, well, and he says, now the only reason, now the mayor of Florence, who is a Democrat and a white man, the only way he is accepted is because he runs as a Democrat and he can win. That's the only way he can win, by running as a Democrat, because of the heavy black population. We can accept him, or they can accept him. He never said really he was had transformed to a Republican or not, but he said the only reason that he can be accepted among the Republican as a Democrat is because he controls the black vote. And something that they need a good Republican posing as a Democrat to fool black folk to support them. And that's exactly what we got. And, you know, it's just terrible. You know, we look at the political leaders, people crying. You know, there was a time when I, as a city council person, and when they tell me I can't be this, but I have no other choice, and a civil rights activist, there was a time when I used to get, you know, 3 or 4 complaints a week. 3 or 4 complaints a week. But now that has transformed into a day. You know, it takes all of my day trying to deal with people and their problems, because the preachers won't do it. They are the ones who led the fight for equality and justice back in the day. The civil rights organizations won't do it. The only person that will do it is me. And I don't even have the support of black folk. Well, I'll put it this way. I don't have the support of some black folk. And let me apologize. I do have the full support, in my opinion, of the majority of black folk, because I can win every time. But it's surprising me, you know, the competition I have. My election is always reflective of the percentage, the demographics of my district. I'm elected by a district, and I'm about 59-60% of my district is black, and 39-40% of my district is white. And that's always pretty much the ratio of my defeats. You know, I always win within that, very close to that margin. Though I do get some white votes, but other candidates get more black votes than I get white. See, this guy, this mayor that he loves so, I mean, he's got a lot of hating me and loving him when I'm fighting for them and their children, my whole fight is for them. But they would rather support this white man who, posing as a Democrat, but carrying the Republican agenda along with so many others on the city council that we have. Now, we have a majority Democratic council, but it's being carried by the the Republican policies are being carried. And we are falling for that. Now, the election is in June of next year, and I've already begun. Excuse me, I've already begun a strong campaign to replace those Democrats on council who are posing as Republicans who are posing as Democrats. They got to go. And the number one person in that category is the mayor. The number one person in that category is the mayor. And I'll be back in a short minute or so. I think I need to. Well, first, let me give you this number again. 516-453-9921. 516-453-9921. Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce. The Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce Blog Talk Radio. Now, we're here every night, Monday through Friday, from 8:30 to 9:30. Every night, Monday through Friday, from 8:30 to 9:30. 516-453-9921. 516-453-9921. You know, and this show is about opinions. And if you have an opinion about fairness and equality for all ethnicities, please call in because we want to hear it. We're not segregating ourselves and saying, even though it says let's talk blackness, that's what we need to. But maybe we need to change it to let's talk blackness / fairness. Because, you know, there are others who are not being treated fairly. And see, there are a number of white folk who are not being treated fairly because they fall below that income line as well. They fall below that income line. So they are being persecuted as well as those of us in the African-American community. We have to begin to work together. We have to begin to work together. And, you know, I'm going to give you this number again, 516-453-9921. 516-9921. Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce Blog Talk Radio Show. And again, I want to remind you that we'll be here every night, Monday through Friday, from 8:30 to 9:30. From 8:30 to 9:30, and we want you to call in, give your opinions about what we're talking about, or if you have a subject matter that you would like to discuss. This show is pretty much aired throughout the world. And if a person has a computer and they log into Blog Talk Radio and they want to talk about blackness, they can tune in to this. I don't care if you're in Africa. You can tune in to this radio program. I don't care if you're in Africa. So we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back in a few minutes. And we're going to talk about the last half of our show. We're going to talk about issues, some of the things that we are planning in recent days. Some of the things that we are planning in recent days. So let's take this quick break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
I'm baggage. I had you on mute, and I'm up here just talking and realizing that you're not hearing a word that I was saying. But I was saying that on August 29th, that's this Saturday, Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce, we will be featuring a sit-in. Now that's going to be right downtown Florence. There is a revitalization project going on downtown where there are millions and millions of dollars being spent to help mostly white-owned businesses go into business. And see, always allude to is the fact that 2 years ago, a year and a half, 99% of downtown was black. And every black person that rented is gone. The only blacks that are still down there are the ones that were fortunate enough to buy those rundown ragged buildings. It was probably a good thing that they did, but see, it's extremely hard. It had been extremely hard for a black person to buy those buildings. And see, most of them got them, you know, like on contract of sale, you know, owner financing. See, because, you know, it was, the thing was that, you know, downtown was dead. Those buildings were dilapidated. It was going to cost a fortune to fix them up. And the people that owned them really didn't want them. They were just trying to get rid of them. And so they went into contracts of sales with a number of them, the ones that could buy those buildings. And that's how they were able to get them, not anticipating what's happening now downtown. And so they were lucky enough to be able to maintain maybe 3-4 of them that were in that category. But as I said, any black person that's downtown now are the ones that own their business buildings prior to this gentrification of black folk from downtown 2 years ago. And if you did not own, you had to go. And the ones that do own, they try to get rid of them. And see, the message that I got is, in order for us to diversify downtown, we're going to have to get rid of all the black folks. They got to go. Now, what we're doing is on Saturday, August 29th, is we're having what I call a sit-in. And one important fact is, bring your lawn chairs. Now, I want you to bring your lawn chairs, because we want to be a very relaxed atmosphere kind of thing. Want people sitting around, so that we are just going to be going around just talking to people, talking about ideas and suggestions, things that we need to do. How can we get more fairness in this gentrification of black folk? How can we wake up these young millennium entrepreneurs who feel that they are above and beyond the rest of us, who they have profited on the blood, sweat, and tears of us? All of this stuff has to change. We need to deal with it, but we need to deal with it comprehensively. We need to be together on it, and it doesn't need to be just one person's idea. I want to get everybody's idea. You know, people think that I'm a little radical, and I guess that's probably why they won't support a lot of my efforts, because they feel that I am too radical. But when has there been change without radicalism? When has there been change without blood, sweat, without fight? I mean, it just doesn't happen. There's going to be turmoil in order to have change. And things are just totally out of whack. And we see that the system just do not want to give in, even after all odds to say, system, you're wrong. System, you're wrong, and they still refuse to change. But see, righteousness prevails. Righteousness is above all, so as long as we are doing the right thing, we will be successful. So on Saturday, July, August 29th, at the Roy Adams Breezeway, that's the 100 block of West Evans Street in Florence, South Carolina, the 100 block of West Evans Street, Florence, South Carolina, you can't miss it. It's just a little breezeway. We're going to be gathering there from 11 o'clock to 1 or 2, however long it takes, no longer than 2, and hopefully until two, but it, you know, it just depends on the participation. We're going to be there until two, from 11 to two, talking about blackness. Now, this conversation will be about blackness. Where we are, where we were, where we are, where we want to be, and what we got to do to get to where we want to be. You know, so you need to come. Those of you who want to be a part of a movement, and white folk, y'all come too, so you can understand where we are, who we are. Voice your opinions. We like to hear your side of the story. And I know, you know, it's a whole lot of you that think the same way that we do. Whole lot of you that think the same way that we do. So we want you to come. We want you to come. And those of you who are black, I want you to remember. 5. We don't want you to forget to say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. Well, that's it for our show today. And we'll be back tomorrow talking about the same good old stuff. So we're always going to go out the way we came in. Begin.
Can you dig it? Talking about the ghetto.